Open up with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 9 this morning. Sharing food and conversations with one another can really be this sacramental occasion of knowing and being known, times when friendships are firmly formed. Jesus enjoyed being with people around the table with good food and drink so much that he was accused of being a glutton and a wine bibber. All right? I ran across this quote this week. I was not looking for a quote. I was not looking for sermon material. I was reading a book because I liked the book title, and I started digging into the introduction of this book, and it absolutely includes the title of my message today, and it's from Pope Francis. He said this. I love this statement so much. I prefer a church which is bruised, hurting, and dirty because it has been out on the streets, rather than a church which is unhealthy from being confined and from clinging to its own security, more than by fear of going astray. My hope is that we will be moved by the fear of remaining shut up within structures which give us a false sense of security, within rules which make us harsh judges, within habits which makes us feel safe, while at our door people are starving. And Jesus does not tire of saying to us, give them something to eat. Look with me at Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 10. Isn't the Lord good? I don't know how I would pastor this church without the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit, because only the Holy Spirit could make that happen for me today. Because give them something to eat is the title of today's message. Verse 10, the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. He had sent them out two by two and, you know, preaching the kingdom of God, healing the sick, and so forth. And when they had done this, he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and healed those who had need of healing. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitudes away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country, and lodge, and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. You do. And they said, well, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of leftover fragments was taken up from them. Let's pray. Father, I ask that we would all hear today the words of Jesus, you give them something to eat. Father, I know, I believe that there's something for all of us to do in your kingdom, to bless others and to honor you. None, not one of us is supposed to be sitting on the sidelines watching others. Father, I pray that you would plant your will, your thoughts, your desire inside of each one of us, and that every one of us will take it up our responsibility today to be a doer of your word and not hearer only. In Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing we see here is that after the disciples were out doing the heavy lifting, the hard work of ministry, that Jesus took them aside privately to a deserted place. We all need times to get away and to rest. And I think we should do this daily. I think we should find a way to rest and be with the Lord every single day of our life. For you morning people, that would be a really good time, first thing in the morning. For those of us that aren't quite, you know, fully functional, you know, before 8 o'clock in the morning, maybe that's at lunchtime. Maybe that's in the evening before you go to bed. I think, again, you're doing that right now with your presence in the house of the Lord. You've set aside time to come into the house of the Lord. And really, it's a time of resting and refreshment where somebody's pouring back into you. The singers and the musicians have poured back into your life with all of their preparation and all of their practice and all of their singing. And we've been lifted. We've been refreshed by that. You know, somebody like me presents, you know, a teaching to you that renews your mind, refreshes you, and causes you to, you know, go out and take on your week full of the Word of God, full of the Spirit of God. If you needed to be healed, or you needed to be forgiven, or you needed to be restored, man, that's what coming together in church is all about. I think periodically throughout the year, you need to take some extended times that we call a vacation. You know, most of the rest of the world would call a holiday. We need to take a holiday. We need to get away from our normal activity. And then, quite frankly, and that's really what Chad and I did, we went to a mountain area of New Mexico. We have a pastor friend from Clovis that I've known for a long time. I've been hearing about his men's conference that he's been doing for 22 years. There's five pastors. They grew up on the same street in Clovis, New Mexico. Well, one of them is from Oklahoma, but four of these guys, well, David, my friend David, he got saved, started a church. His brother Stormy came to church and got saved. And then two of the guys they've known since third grade, one of the brothers came, a UPS driver, and he came and got saved. And he dragged his brother into church full of alcohol on his breath. He got saved. And all four of these guys are pastors today, leading churches. One of the brothers is in Albuquerque and on Easter had 12,000 people in his church. And one's in Roswell, New Mexico. And then Stormy is pastoring in Lubbock, Texas. And then there was a youth pastor that served Brother David, Pastor Swan, David Swan at Clovis for a number of years. And now he's in Oklahoma. And I saw Tony Cook is preaching for him today. And we know Brother Tony. But there were 65 churches there, and there was 1,200 men just getting away to be in the presence of God. And it was such a good time. I mean, I really was ministered to. I had a very strong word from God that was confirmed, you know, through Pastor Swan. And it was just it's something that we all should do, is set aside time to get away and reconnect with God and our purpose. I'll be honest, there's also a season of sabbatical where you really get away for an extended period of time because you've been at it for so long. And that's where Michelle and I are right now. We're looking for our sabbatical. We're looking for a little extended time where we can really just recharge and make sure we're right in the will of God so we can come back out on the next season. Amen. But then verse 11, it says, but the multitudes, they found out where they were and just showed up. And Jesus began to minister to them. He says he received them and then spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed all those that had need of healing. He taught and demonstrated the kingdom of God. He had trained the disciples to do the same. They had just come back from that. If you look at the first two verses of chapter 9, he had called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Aren't you glad the kingdom of God isn't just words? That there's real power of God in the kingdom of God. That there's real demonstration. Man, I just anticipated today being a day of not only forgiveness and restoration, but a day of healing and wholeness, a day of making things right, because that's the kingdom of God. It's not just words, but it's power. Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, said, you know, I come to you not just in words only, but in demonstrations and the power of God. verses 12 and 13, you know, the disciples start getting a little concerned about this. They've got this great crowd of people. And if you go through the other Gospels, you have to go through the other Gospels to put this whole account together of where they came up with the five loaves and the two fish. We know there was a young man there that gave up his provisions. But there, why was there so many people out in this deserted place? Well, if you read through John, you'll realize it's the time of the Passover. And so there was many pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem. And on the way, they ran across Jesus and Jesus' teaching and the disciples going out and ministering to them. And so that's why there was such a great crowd of people in this area of Bethsaida. But they had a problem. They're out in this place. There's no lodging and there's no place to get food. And the disciples said, look, we need to send these guys away so that they can go take care of themselves. And Jesus said something very challenging and something very fascinating, something that really, really stirs my heart. He looked at them and said, you give them something to eat. What would you do if Jesus said that to you? As a matter of fact, I imagine Jesus has said that to some of you. And some of you have argued your way out of it because you didn't know how you were going to do what the Lord told you to do. You didn't believe that you were big enough. You didn't believe that you had enough provision to do it. You didn't believe you were qualified. You didn't believe that you had enough information. And so you argued your way out of it, just like the disciples were trying to argue their way out of it. Lord, we're out in the desert. We don't have supplies. All we have is five loaves and two fish. I mean, even if we had enough money to feed this whole crowd, which it's debatable, they might have had enough money to feed the whole crowd. Didn't say they didn't. Just said there's nowhere to go buy food. So they thought they were going to get out of this. Come on, somebody. Have you ever, you know, really felt like the Lord put something on your heart to do? You saw some great need and you said somebody needs to do something about this. And on the inside of you, you heard Jesus say to you, you do something. But then you argued your way out of it just like these were. But I'm telling you, I've tried to argue my way out of things with the Lord a lot of times. Because what He's asked me to do, I didn't know how to do it. I didn't have the money to do it. I didn't have the people to do it. I didn't have any way to accomplish it. But it never changes what the Lord says. Now this pastor from Albuquerque, I'll say, I really enjoyed him and got to know him, got to spend some time with him this weekend. But he made a statement on Thursday night that I think we all try to hide behind. The Lord understands. You ever use that one? The Lord understands. Well, the Lord understands of the financial mess I'm in. So He knows, Lord understands why I'm not tithing. Or the Lord understands that, you know, my kids are so involved in all these activities, and the Lord understands why I can't really serve and minister in the church because of how busy I am. And I'm not sure the Lord does understand. Because I've never had the Lord, once He told me to do something or once I saw something in the Word of God, ever let me wiggle out of it. With you understand? Think about what Jesus said to the rich young ruler. Well, here's your problem. He didn't say, well, I understand you have all this money and all these responsibilities, so you really can't. So you get an exemption. Jesus told the rich young ruler, well, no problem. Sell everything. Give it all away, and then you can just really follow me. Problem solved. He didn't say, oh, I understand. This is the reason you can't do it. Special exemption. I think when we come to the Lord with all of our, the Lord understands, I think that's a hope so in our mind. I think that's a justification in our own mind. Jesus didn't back down. He said, you give them something to eat. As a matter of fact, just have them sit down in groups of 50 and let's get this party rolling. Are you big enough to handle this morning? Are you tired of making excuses of why you're not really doing what you know the Lord wants you to do? That didn't get an overwhelming response. Quit hiding behind the Lord understands. I don't know if you're big enough to say what the Lord understands or doesn't understand when He clearly said something in His Word that's contrary to what you just said. Everybody smile at the preacher. Every trouble is an opportunity for Jesus to show up with miracle work and problem-solving power. I don't know why I went all hick on that. Problem-solving. Miracle-working, problem-solving power. God rarely answers prayers devoid of human involvement. He works miracles through our hands and by our faith. You give them something to eat. If the task were humanly possible or easy, you would not need God. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, you give them something to eat. Jesus looked at them and said to them earlier in Matthew 19:26, He says, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Say that. With God. And Mark 9:23, He looked at the man who'd brought his son, who was obviously having epileptic seizures, and the disciples couldn't do anything about it, and Jesus rebuked them about their little faith, and the man said, Jesus, if you can do anything, if you can do anything, my son will be healed. And Jesus looked at the man in Mark 9:23 and said to him, if you can believe. All things are possible to him that believes. So if what you believe God has put in your heart to do for him is impossible for you, you're in good company. You're in good company with everybody in the whole entire Bible that God told to do something, because when he told them to do it, they couldn't do it. In their own ability, their own strength, their own supplies, their own provisions. But Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And nothing is impossible with God. So they had them sit down in groups of 50. No one ate alone. The gospel is utterly, completely communal. It's something that we do together. Following Jesus is something that we do together. Church forces us out of our isolation. Coming to church doesn't force you out of your isolation. Being the church, doing the church, forces you out of your isolation. Because there's people in the room, you're just as alone right now as you would be in your own living room. Because you came just to receive. But church is about giving. It's about sharing. It's about laying down our life for one another. It's about serving. If we're following Jesus, Jesus said, I didn't come to be, what? Serve, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. So you could come into a church service and still be alone. But if you become the church, you become the body of Christ. You become a living, active member of Christ's body. You'll not be alone. It forces us out of our isolation to serve. Now, we don't know how Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fish. You know how he did that? I don't know. Some theologians, this isn't the way I believe it, but I think it's a fascinating thing to look at as a possibility. Not the way I believe it. Are you hearing me? So don't throw rocks at me. I always need to throw that qualifier in there, but I think it's a fascinating to think about. Some theologians have suggested this. Jesus set them down in groups of 50. Okay? He took this big group and he brought it down to a smaller group. Okay? Now remember, these are all pilgrims. Most of them are pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem to the temple because of Passover. All right? They're on a journey. What do they have with them? Food. Okay? But culturally, people didn't break out their food lest they didn't have enough for everybody. It would be wrong for them to eat in front of other people that didn't have food. Look, in this Middle Eastern culture, come on, even as a Christian, if I came to a home of a Muslim, he'd offer me something to eat. So culturally, they're in this big, huge group. Come on, somebody. And they're not going to break out their food because they're thinking, I don't have enough for everybody. I don't know. Come on. And so Jesus broke them down into groups of 50. And this isn't exactly the way I believe it, but it's something to think about, isn't it? So they were afraid that they didn't have enough, and they weren't going to be impolite and eat in front of other people that didn't have food because that wouldn't be right of them culturally. But Jesus knew that there was food. And if he knew, if he broke them down into groups of 50 and he holds this up and begins to bless it, he begins to distribute, what if people didn't open their basket and say, well, you know, I've got some bread. I've got some of this. I've got some nuts. I don't know, and I'm not saying I believe that, but isn't that a fascinating thing of how church ought to be? Where we begin to share what we have with one another. Come on, somebody. So that nobody goes without. So, and I'm not just talking about food, I'm not just talking about money, I'm talking about our lives. What if after you raised your children, and you're not all stressed out in life with all these burdens and responsibilities, at that moment, you go and share what you have in the children's department because you've got now a little bit of disposable time. You've got the bills paid, the mortgage is paid off. Come on, somebody. And you're not just slamming it and working 100 hours a week like you used to. You've slowed down a little bit. But now you have something to give and help out those frantic moms that you know, they're trying to, and dads that are trying to pay the bills and get them to T-ball and now teach Sunday school and you know, cook stuff and all that. But if you shared what you have, man, how blessed would that be? Some of those little boys back there don't have a dad at home. Wouldn't it be nice for you to be a dad to them? We don't know. What we do know is this. A young man with innocence and generosity shared his food. And using this act of generosity, Jesus gave thanks and began to distribute the food. What we do know is the food began to miraculously multiply. We don't know how. It's not my job to figure out how. I just throwing out a weird, interesting possibility. But there was 12 baskets left. Here's the point. When you see a need, don't be surprised if you hear Jesus say to you, you do something about this. I want you to do something about this. You give them something to eat. And here's some questions then you're going to have to answer at that moment. When Jesus tells you, you give them something to eat. You do something about this. You're either going to have an abundance or scarcity mentality. You're either going to believe in the God who's more than enough, or you're going to look at yourself and say, I can't do this. You're going to either have an abundance mentality or you're going to have a scarcity mentality. You're either going to be at that moment generous or selfish. That moment, you're either going to give what you have and be generous, or at that moment, you're going to say, no. I worked hard for this. No, I worked a long time to have this time off. And you want me to take my vacation time and go to some third world country and do a Bible school for them or build something for them or... But you just keep hearing Jesus say, you do something. And I'm telling you, it'll be the best vacation you ever took in your whole life. The last question is, do you have faith to step out and do what God puts in your heart to do? because I didn't know how I was ever going to do anything ever God ever told me to do. Not one time did I ever have it figured out when I took the first step. But as I began to walk by faith, not by sight, the Lord made the way. And miracles began to happen. And provisions. Come on, somebody. When we look to our own resources and our own ability, we'll lose or we won't even try. When we look to our relationship with God, we know. We know that we're going to succeed. Man, there's some things God put in my heart, and quite frankly, Friday night at that men's meeting, I was asking big, and I was talking to God, look, you put this in me to do. Therefore, I'm going to step out and do this thing, so you're going to have to come through and do all the stuff I can't do and bring all the stuff I don't have. But I'm going to start walking, and you better show up, buddy. Is it okay if I call God buddy? Quit living an ordinary life. Be obedient to God and start doing supernatural things. People want to see miracles. You know where miracles show up? Through acts of obedience. When you start doing something you know you can't do, then God has to show up and do something only God can do. You want to see miracles? You give them something to eat. Amen? We love you. God bless you. If you're a guest with us today at Cornerstone Church, I look around and see...